Did we mention that the Southern Gospel fans are very enthusiastic? Did we talk about that for a second? I can't help but think of the irony of much of the songs that was sung by an original Northerner, but she does sing Southern Gospel so well. So thank you to Cassandra as well as the worship team for blessing us with Southern Gospel music along with some other music as we have been led to worship through music this morning. This morning, speaking of, I want to talk about a topic that I've been thinking about lately, a lot lately, and so maybe you think about it from time to time, and so I thought I'd share this perspective and thought, this topic with you, and that's the idea of being more than an individual that just calls themselves a Christian. Do you get where I'm saying? That you go and you identify and say, I'm a Christian, and that is good, that's wonderful. But what I'm talking about is truly living out your faith, walking with the Lord, living for the Lord, out of that flow, serving the Lord. In fact, we had a wonderful discussion this past Wednesday evening in our Bible study talking about that very, very thought. In fact, we even referenced the fact that it's more about just doing, it's about being. Yes, Judy from our Wednesday evening Bible study just mentioned. And so if you would sum up that whole theme, that topic, if you will, I think you could sum it up to one word, the word abide. The word abide. I'm going to invite you to turn with me to John chapter 15 that deals with this very important topic, which is abiding in the Lord. It's a familiar passage, but it's worth revisiting from time to time, and it has so much truth. It has so much insight. So John chapter 15 verses 1 through 8 specifically is our text for this morning. And so as we begin in John chapter 15 and verse 1, it goes on to say this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Abiding, that's what it's all about. The metaphor that we see is, of course, a vineyard. And it's the words of Jesus that he has given to his disciples shortly after he's going to depart from them. And so you know it's very important words. It's very important instructions. He's saying, abide in me. He's going to depart physically from them soon. But he wants to plant that seed, I guess you could say, in their hearts, that if you want to do anything of spiritual value, you have to abide in me. And so the metaphor that is given, that Jesus gives them, is of a vineyard, if you will. And you have the vine dresser. That could also be interpreted in some translations. We'll say a gardener or a farmer. So if you think of that concept, you can think of the vine dresser, the farmer, the gardener, being the Heavenly Father. And Jesus is the lifeline, if you will, because he is the vine and we are the branches. And so we see this metaphor that is depicting what it means to abide in the Lord. And so as we examine this passage, we are going to see the working of the Lord as his followers are abiding in the Lord. Let me say that again. As we break down this metaphor, this metaphor that Jesus gives to his disciples, and as we take it to heart as his current disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, we are going to once again see that the working of the Lord will take place in his followers' life as we abide in the Lord. So this morning I want to take a few adjectives that are mentioned or descriptions that are mentioned are so vital in the life of, for example, the metaphor, but also has great meaning and great application to our spiritual life. Now, I don't know how many people are familiar with vineyards. I certainly am not a farmer. And all I know is that I can look at the fields or the harvest or the vineyards and I can see beauty, and I'm so thankful for what it produces. Not understanding all of the details, I surely enjoy what it produces. I imagine you do as well. And so, once again, we understand what is being emphasized, that pruning is so very important for a vineyard, for some type of tree, some type of plant. Because while we see a vineyard being both beautiful and fruitful, it is that way because a gardener has attended to it and pruned it. You see, a vineyard left alone and unattended will be a mess of overgrowth. But the gardener gives special attention, tender loving care, I guess you could say, as they water it, as they protect it, as they cultivate it, which includes pruning it. Pruning is essential because the dead wood and the overgrowth must be trimmed and it must be removed so that growth can take place in the vineyard or whatever plant that you can think of. And what we see is this metaphor is being demonstrated to teach a spiritual truth that the Lord prunes us in our spiritual life as well. He prunes us and He disciplines us so that we can be fruitful. Now, we don't like the word discipline these days, do we? I don't really care to be disciplined. I didn't like to be disciplined when I was a child. But I'm thankful that when I was a child, I was disciplined, or I would have grown up to be who knows what, right? But I had discipline in my life, and as I grew up, I understood that I was out of a heart of love for my parents, which disciplined me. And so it is that the Heavenly Father loves His children so much that He has to prune them. He has to discipline them. Hebrews 12, verse 6 reminds us of this. Here's what it says, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens," or you could say, disciplines. And so the work of the Lord is a pruning process that God does in our life to produce this godly life and this spiritual fruit. And so He's getting rid of and trimming the sin that so easily besets us. But there's also times where He does a work in our life to actually move us from where we are to where we need to be. Mentioned just earlier that we had the FCA representatives that gave wonderful devotionals. I had an opportunity to talk to specifically both of them, but Coach Alexander later, who has been both a coach, AD, and now works with FCA. And we're talking about the health struggles that he faced some years ago. He developed leukemia, and so he was limited. And all of the things that he loved to do, he loved to coach, he loved to be an athletic director. It was his passion. He just loved teaching young people and investing in them. And all of this was good. But then he developed this leukemia, and he shared with me his testimony of that taking place. And how it really shook his world because he had to go down to part-time and all he could do was teach and barely had the energy to do that. And so he had to drop many of the things that he loved. And finally, he had to retire from teaching because of his health diagnosis. But what he went on to testify was that he wouldn't be ministering and serving with FCA now had it not been for those health struggles. He loved what he did so much, and there was nothing wrong with it. He had a great investment. He had a great impact on many lives, but God was bringing him to a different place, in a different point of ministry. See, here's the thing. Sometimes our dreams have to die in order for the Lord to bring us to where He wants us to be. And many of y'all, if I would ask you personally questions and we would have conversations, you could go back in time and share with me a story in your life where you didn't know what was going on. You couldn't make sense of what was going on. Your world is upside down. It's been turned upside down. You can't make sense of it in the moment. But God has a plan. And He has developed all those things within your life. He's developed the trials and tribulations at times in your life because that dream has to die for that door to be closed, for another door to be opened, and for God to take you to where He wants to be. And I can testify the fact that that has taken place in my life. Let me tell you something. Years ago, my heart was broken because a door was closed, to make a long story short. I couldn't make sense of it at the time. But as I look back in time, so you can look back and it's all 2020, right? As you look back. But I look back in time and I was crushed. The dream had died. My goals, my ambitions had died in that situation. But then I look back in time. God closed the door because He opened the door of pastoral ministry for me. And I'm here today and I've had the privilege of serving here for 15 years now, because God closed the door years ago. Broke my heart, crushed my spirit. Thank you. Somebody's thankful for that to take place. All right, thank you, Judy. But couldn't we all probably share that if you've been a Christian long enough? And whether it's the dead stuff that needs to go, that God's trimming out of your life, or whether it's the fact that God wants to take you to another level of faith, He does the pruning in our life. And it's for a purpose. God has a plan. He will produce a godly life that bears spiritual fruit. And so it is that He does pruning within our life. Another thing that we see in verse 3 is that we see that He does cleaning in our life. Now there's a reference to the cleaning that God does for us at the point of salvation. There's a reference to the fact that when a person receives Christ as their personal Savior, He cleanses us. And so we get that that teaching in that metaphor. But as we know, we are cleansed by the Lord. But there's also a need for continuing cleansing. Now, what I'm not talking about is the relationship with God. We believe that when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, He is your Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father is your Heavenly Father. You are a child of the Most High God. And you are born again, right? As we even just referenced and just saw just moments ago in our Sunday school class, that we are born again, not of the flesh, but of the will of God. So we're born into His family, so we have this relationship with God. But what I will reference and what I'm trying to point out is that we need a continual cleansing to have a close fellowship with the Lord. This is the intimate connection that we desire or should desire to have with the Lord. It's to maintain a close fellowship with the Lord. It's the type of thing that David is referencing shortly after he fell into sin with Bathsheba in Psalm chapter 51. What does he say? Psalm 51, specifically in verse 10. David says, "Create in me a clean heart, and O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." David is longing for the close relationship that he once had had with God. He said, "Oh Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation." And so certainly at the point of salvation, God does a cleansing. But there's this continual cleansing that is done to maintain that close, intimate fellowship with the Lord. 1 John 1:9 references when it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so the Lord is doing a work within our hearts, in our lives, to prune out the junk, if you will, in our lives, to get the debris of sin out of there and to make us and to bring us to where He wants us to be, to walk from faith to faith. And this cleansing that He does, the point of salvation, the continual cleansing that He does with His fellowship, all so that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Spirit of God, can produce spiritual fruit. Fruit of the Spirit, yes. And also spiritual fruit as well. All of this comes with this fellowship. All of this comes with this union with Christ. Once again, as we have this intimate connection with Christ, it is this abiding with Christ, once again, that allows followers of Jesus Christ to have the constant flow from the life of Christ. We abide in Him, and He abides in us. And so we can be confident, as Philippians 1:6, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Anybody relate to the fact that we are a work in progress? Anybody relate to that? I can. So I'm just letting you know, I'm a work in progress. I've got a long ways to go. Just ask my family. I've got a long ways to go. We are a work in progress. But God's not done with us. He's still working on you. He's still working on me. And Philippians 4:13 reminds us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so it is as we allow the Lord and we yield ourselves to Him and allow Him to flow in our life, as we abide in a relationship with Jesus, as the Spirit of God, the very third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, flows through us, we demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, which is a supernatural attribute. It is not natural to be kind to those who are unkind to you, to be gentle to those who are not gentle to you, to be forgiving of those who wrong you. This is not of the natural nature. This is of the spiritual nature. It can only be accomplished as we walk with the Lord, as we demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, and then He'll go on to produce spiritual fruit in our lives. Once again, as He prunes us, as He cleans us, as we have this intimate fellowship with Him, as He produces, He, the Spirit of God, produces within us the fruit of the Spirit. Once again, the Spirit of God will work and produce fruit. And then He will answer. So did you see that in verse 7? If we abide in the Lord, we can ask Him and He will answer us. Now the key is that once again we are abiding in the Lord. One of the problems of Christians, including myself so often, is that we might not be praying according to the will of God. And therefore, we are not asking according to His will. Remember James 4, verse 3, it talks about this, doesn't it? It says in James 4, 3, you ask and you do not receive, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. So often, we asking and praying according to our own will. So often, we are asking and praying according to our own agenda. So often we might be seeking, whether we know it or not, the own pleasures of our own self. But when we are in alignment with the Lord and abiding in the Lord and we're asking Him according to His will, He will hear us and He will answer us. Remind us of Psalm 37 verse 4, which says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I heard that broken down some years ago by a wonderful Bible teacher, and he said this, that he used to think that if you just spend time with the Lord, that He'll give you everything that you want. And then what he found out is that when he spent time with the Lord and in His presence and delighted in Him, that the delight of the Lord became his delight. The desires of the Lord became his desires. And so it was that for him and his experience that he came in alignment with the Lord, because the Lord was abiding with him and he was abiding with the Lord. And then we can ask Him according to His will, and He will hear us and He will answer us according to His will. So once again, this metaphor gives us such great truth from the very words in the mouth of Jesus to His disciples. But once again, we take it to heart as His disciples of our day and time, as followers of Jesus Christ, as children of the Most High God, realizing and reminiscing as we look at such a pattern that God is doing a work within us. He is pruning us once again. He is cleaning us. He is working in our life to produce His good will and His good purpose in our life. And He is answering the prayers of our heart according to His will and to His perfect plan. He is moving on our behalf as we spend time in presence and as we are pleading our case before Him. And then all of this reminds us too that all of this abiding in the Lord is to be represented as we glorify the Lord. And didn't Jesus give the ultimate example of that during His earthly ministry? The very Son of God, He yielded to the will of the Father. Reminded at the Garden of Gethsemane that as He is praying, as He is pleading to the Father, He is saying something to the effect of, "Let this cup pass from me." In other words, if it's okay, I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be tortured. I don't want to bleed. I don't want to die. But yet not my will, but Your will be done, so that the Heavenly Father would be glorified, so that the will of God Almighty, the plan of redemption, could be accomplished, right? This was what Jesus submitted Himself to. This is what Jesus, the very Son of God, obeyed the Heavenly Father's will and purpose and plan of redemption and went to that cross. And then Jesus, because He does this, is honored by the Heavenly Father Himself. It's recorded in Philippians. And it says that Jesus, referring to Jesus, became obedient to the point of death. Even, what? The death of the cross. Therefore, God, referring to the Heavenly Father, highly exalted Him, Jesus, and gave Him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And so it is that Jesus set the example for us during His earthly ministry. And so it is that He gives this task, this responsibility, this command to us as followers of Jesus Christ, that we are to glorify our great God. The actions that we take, who we are, ought to bring glory to God. Even the simplest of things in our life. Remember, it's not about just doing per se, it's about being, and as we're being, then we will do, and out of that being will overflow into the doing that glorifies the Lord in our words, in our deeds, in our motives of our heart. It is to bring glory to God. Once again, it's in the simplest of things. It's that lifestyle. It's abiding in the Lord. As 1 Corinthians 10:31 reminds us, the smallest things, therefore whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I think of myself probably included, that sometimes we think we have to do a grand thing for the glory of God. And sometimes He will allow us to do that and be part of that. But many times, it's in the mundane things of life, the small things, which brings glory to the Lord. You've heard me say this before, that I believe that many times the nursery workers are the handshake of the church. I know as a parent of children that were once upon a time very little, and babies, that it meant the world to us, that whoever was in the nursery loved and cared on our sweet little ones, right? Our sweet little babies. Grandparents, you can now relive that again, right? It's very important to you that those babies, grandbabies, whatever it may be loved on and cared for. And I think of those folks that love on those little children. Let the children come unto me, right? Don't forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. I think of the children's workers that probably have their patience tested, you think? Maybe from time to time. But they demonstrate the love of God. And maybe they pass out juice and crackers or whatever they may be passing out in junior church as we speak. I don't know. But I believe that God honors that. They are glorifying the Lord. Those that get out there on that property. I was watching one of our dear church members in the heat of the day cutting that grass this week. Don't you know that if you're cutting the grass, don't you know if you're attending to the building, the property in which we come together to worship, that it truly matters? I believe it all matters. I believe it's an act of worship. I believe it's glorifying the Lord, because in every part of this property there's an opportunity for people to gather and to be exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, be introduced to Him in a personal relationship with Him, and Lord willing, grow. So if it's in the building or if it's in the property, wherever it may be, any act of service to the Lord glorifies the Lord. Don't you believe that? It matters. If there is folks that are saved on the field of faith, and we've seen it through our revivals, our tent revivals and such, if you had a part of it, if you put up that tent, if you had a part of it in any way, you bring glory to God. For those that make those meals on those fellowship events that we have, that you already have heard, we'd like to do quite a bit, and we'll be doing quite a bit recently. Don't you know, you prepare that food and you love on people, in some way, somehow, a person may be introduced to Christ through a fellowship event. Don't you know you had a part? You might not have been the one to, quote-unquote, lead them to Christ, if you will. But really, none of us ever lead anybody to Christ, right? I know that's a term we use. The Spirit of God leads them to Christ, draws them to Him. But He gives us the opportunity, the privilege, the blessing to be part of that work. Ministers in the ministry of reconciliation. That's what He's called us to do. So whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, here at a church or in the community, live out your faith. Bring glory to the Lord. Father of Jesus Christ, once again, a familiar passage to many, but worth reviewing, worth taking to heart, and I trust You would do it. Maybe today, the challenge goes to you, and myself included, to do a better job of abiding in the Lord, meaning to focus on the Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. All begins with our close, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, follower of Jesus Christ. That is your challenge. That is my challenge. Abide in Him and allow Him to abide in you. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's painful, but it's painful for a purpose. And He has a purpose, He has a plan, and He will accomplish His will in our lives as we submit ourselves to Him, as we obey Him, as we yield ourselves to Him. Don't you want the overflowing and the outpouring of the Lord Himself to work in and through your life? I sure do. Every day can be a challenge, I know. But every day is a day that the Lord has made. We rejoice. We are glad because of an opportunity to grow closer to Him, to live for Him, live with Him, serve Him. That is a challenge, O followers of Jesus Christ, to us all as contemporary disciples of Jesus, as followers of Christ, as children of the Most High God. But I got to point out, there's also a reference in verse 6. Verse 6 references judgment. You might have caught that. Verse 6 references the fact that there is complete disconnect. There is no connection to the vine. What that is referencing is a person that does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the references from some theologians that believe is referenced in that passage, along with some other passages, is a reference to Judas Iscariot himself, one of the original 12 disciples. But the problem with Judas is, although he walked with Jesus physically speaking, talked with Jesus physically speaking, that ultimately he never received, I believe, according to the Word of God, the free gift of salvation from Jesus Himself. He is referenced as the son of perdition. And as time of betrayal, there's indication in his reference that he is actually possessed by the devil himself as he betrays Jesus Himself. The Bible goes on to say, of course, in that betrayal, that he kissed the face of Jesus. And then he walked away. I have heard it said like this: He kissed the face of heaven and walked away. Can you imagine being so physically close to Jesus and then walk away? Within our churches, churches are supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ. But within the assembling of a congregation can help us think that there's certainly individuals that have been going to church services a long time. There's certainly individuals that associate with other Christians. There's certain individuals that associate with the name of Jesus Christ. But how sad it would be to kiss the face of God in heaven, if you will, and to walk away because that person didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and they did not abide in Him and He in you. That's the individual, I believe, that stands before the Lord as chronicled to Matthew. And he says, all the things that I have done for you and on behalf of you and in your name. And what does Jesus say? Depart from me, I never knew you. There was never a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, don't let that be you. And it does not have to be you. The Bible says that he who has a Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things have I written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5 lays it all out. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I admonish you as we go into this time of invitation, as you do business with God, to examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. And if you say, oh, I've talked to a lot of Christians. I've even referenced verses. I've attended a lot of service. But I never had a personal relationship with Jesus because I don't know Him. You can know Him today. The offer of salvation is open to you today. He will invite you in. He will receive you. As many as received Him, to them He gives the right to become the children of God, Scripture says. You have the privilege and the blessing, if you have breath and you have life, physical life that is, to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But now is the day. Now is the appointed time. And I always already referenced some moments ago during our prayer time that an individual settled that 6 months ago. He went to church a lot. He was associated with church folks. His wife was a wonderful, and is, from my understanding, a wonderful godly woman. But he didn't know Christ. He didn't have a personal relationship with Christ until 6 months ago when his brother, under, I believe, the urgency and the unction of the Holy Spirit, talked to him about the importance of that truth. And here we are talking about that important truth today. I don't know your hearts. God does. Do you know Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you abide in Him, and does He abide in you? As the worship teams come forward, let us pray. Father, we now come to this time where we have heard through music your messages. We have heard your message through the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for your teaching, written so long ago, but so applicable to us in our day and time. Help us, O Father, as followers of Jesus Christ, children of the Most High God, to live out this passage, to abide with you, to walk with you, to live for you, to truly be connected to you, who are the vine through Jesus. We pray, O Father, that we will have a closer walk with Thee. Help us all to take steps in our journey of faith, to fellowship with you, to worship you, to live for you, to grow in you, we do pray. But our prayer also goes out to the one or more that might be listening to this message that has never had a personal relationship with Jesus. Help them to understand, oh Father, that they can know and they can have the eternal life that we have talked to about this morning through a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. Help them to come to the point where they admit, O Lord, that they're a sinner in need of that Savior, Jesus Christ. Help them, O Lord, to believe and to put their trust and faith in Jesus, the very Son of God who died for our sins. was buried, rose again the third day, according to Scripture. And help them, O Father, to confess Him as their Lord and Savior, and therefore be saved, according to the Word of God, we do pray. So this invitation, O Lord, is Yours. We know You are calling us. We know You are drawing us to Yourself. Help us, O Father, to respond in obedience, so that You may be honored, so that You may be glorified. This we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen.